And I do covet your prayers as I turn to the book of Jude. As I studied it and prepared it this past week, I realized, man, I messed up. I really should have given this one to Ryan. Let him handle it. Actually, as I read through it, you will find out why. Jude is not an easy, it's only one chapter long, but it's not an easy chapter to go through. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. For certain men, whose condemnation was written about long ago, have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men, who changed the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels, who did not keep their position of authority, but abandoned their own home, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. In the same way, these dreamers pollute their own bodies, reject authority, and slander celestial beings. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not dare to bring a slanderous accusation against him, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Yet these men speak abusively against whatever they do not understand. And what things they do understand by instinct, like unreasoning animals, these are the very things that destroy them. Woe to them. They have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. They have been destroyed by Korah's rebellion. These men are blemishes at your love feast, eating with you without the slightest qualm, shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind, autumn trees without fruit, and uprooted, twice dead. They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame, wandering stars, for whom blackest darkness has been reserved forever. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. "See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts they have done in the ungodly way and of all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These men are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. But, dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, 'In the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires.' These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. In 1997, Joshua Harris wrote the book, I Kissed Dating Goodbye. It became kind of the Christian manifesto for dating and courtship and what should you do and who should you go out with and what should you do for any teenager that was asking the question, who should I date, when should I date, how far should we go, what should we do? Joshua Harris seemed to be the man who had the answers. In stressing the idea of not just going out with whoever you want to go out with, but choose the one to whom you would want to marry and go out with them. And he transformed the way many Christians sought dating and the relationship of dating. At the same time, the Southern Baptists came out with the whole understanding of why wait campaign on maintaining purity and why you should wait before you become involved sexually with another person. Then in 2000, Josh Harris came out with a sequel. He entitled it Boy Meets Girls, Say Hello to Courtship. It chronicled kind of his own relationship with his wife and the events that led to their eventual marriage together. It likewise countered and continued the ideas of I Kissed Dating Goodbye. Then in 2005, he wrote the book, Sex Isn't the Problem, Lust Is. And went on to continue looking at the whole idea of our sexual understanding and the desires of the, and the lust of the flesh and men's lust for women and women's dressing and all those kinds of issues that come up. And so Joshua Harris continued, go ahead, Tyler, if the books are up there, you can be putting them up. So Joshua Harris wrote, the sex is not the problem. He also had in there not even a hint of sexual immorality, reading the fact that we need to avoid any sexual immorality and stay away from it. And how do we avoid the whole pornography issues and the issues that seem to attract us and attack us? And then also he went a little bit further, right, doing the book Dug Down Deep, all right, unearthing what I believe and why it matters. He kind of gave his theological perspective to what he believes. He wrote the book later on then, Why Church Matters. I believe it was 2009, I think. I put down in here someplace, Why Church Matters. And then in 2013, he wrote Humble Orthodoxy. How do we confront those who disagree with humble orthodoxy? In that book, he writes these words, we need to be courageous in our stand for the biblical truth. But we also need to be gracious in our words and interaction with other people. We must care deeply about the truth. And we must also defend and share this truth with compassion and humility. Joshua Harris was one by all evangelical standards fit the mold. And many people looked up to his teachings. Now, how many of you are aware of what's happened in the past couple of weeks? As Joshua Harris has denounced everything he wrote in the book concerning I Kissed Dating Goodbye, and has publicly apologized to anybody to whom found that book offensive, and has as well, I'll say what everybody's been saying, has denounced his Christian faith. Now, I want to back off of that because I want to say, has denounced being a Christian. To be a little bit more specific. The Gospel Coalition this past week had an article on caution in keeping, friends reflect on Joshua Harris' deconversion, written by Kevin DeYoung, Colin Hanson, Justin Taylor, and several others. Let me kind of come to his final conclusion that they wrote in the article on what do we do and how do we deal with Joshua Harris and what's just happened. Kevin DeYoung was one of his friends growing up, or at least young in his age. They were young and restless. What is it? Young, restless, or young, reformed, and restless, or something like that. What's that? Yeah, young, restless, and reformed. This is kind of his final words that he puts down. Finally, a word of caution on the personal side of things. No doubt, there have been a myriad of decisions, and we might say defections, in Josh's soul over the past years. We don't know the detail of what has transpired. We don't know the conversations, the tears, the possible hurt, the possible compromises. We don't know what Josh's next Instagram post might say. We can only imagine the pains this has caused for Josh's family and the eldest friends who are likely dismayed at the current trajectory. When it comes to confident theories of what went wrong, we should tread lightly. Our hope is that we may once again boast in the cross with our old friend. At the very least, we hope he will travel this new path with a bit more caution himself. Divorce and deconstruction are confusing. They are painful. They are destabilizing. It seems, therefore, better that they would be largely out of the public eye. Instagram seems a poor vehicle for honest assessment. Transparency, overrated in our day as it is certainly less sanguine when we aren't sure who we are or what we will become. While we grieve Josh's decision and have told him as much, we are not without hope, and we've told him that as well. We will continue to call on the God of sovereign mercy, the God Josh once extolled, and the God who still sits on the throne. And we pray our friend for our churches and for ourselves, that we may keep ourselves in the love of God, Jude 21. As God keeps us from stumbling, Jude 24. Isn't it interesting that these people, when they want to close their discussion about a young brother in Christ who is now, or I shouldn't say a young, but a brother in Christ who now seems to be denouncing his faith, would remain in the love and be kept from stumbling? Both quoted from Jude, the very book that we're looking at this morning. Now, before I look at Jude, I do want to say this morning that Josh Harris is one of those condemned by Jude. If he continues in his faith denouncing, God will judge, and God will judge rightly. But our prayer is that God would restore him, that God would call him back, that God would restore his brother back again to the faith. Neither do I want to say that Josh Harris is condemned because of his divorce. Or possible, in fact, I have different places that you read. Some say they are presently separated. Others say that they are currently seeking divorce in his relationship with his wife. That was once seen as the pinnacle for the writing of two books. So I want to ask the question, what do we do when things go wrong? What do we do when that which we thought was right, when that which we thought was true, when that which we thought was given by God now is denounced or renounced? What do we do when the things that we thought were true and thought were accurate don't seem to be true or accurate anymore? How are we to respond in those situations? I want to give you four things that we need to remember when things go wrong. And I see that with the time that's going quicker than I noticed, I need to do it quicker than what I should. Number one, we need to remember when things go wrong, God's goodness is great. When your world seems to be turned upside down and your son and your husband both are stricken with cancer, how do you remember that God is good? And that the goodness of God is great? But we must remember that. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James. Jude here refers to himself as a servant of Jesus. Literally, if he's the brother of James, most scholars believe he was a stepbrother of Jesus himself. Other people believe, and that literally his name is Judas, but because they don't want to confuse him with Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed Jesus, many people call him Jude. If you go into Catholic doctrines, some people will say that Jude was literally Thaddeus, and that his name was Judas Thaddeus, one of the apostles of Jesus as well. He simply refers to him here as a servant of Jesus and a brother of James. But he writes to those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ. And so we need to begin by looking here that what Jude says to those to whom he writes is, I want you to remember the greatness and the goodness of your God who called you, who loves you, and who will keep you in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so we need to recognize that in God's goodness is great, for He has chosen you, those who have been called of God. He is the one who in His goodness has chosen us. He is the one who out of His compassion, out of His great love for us, we recognize that we have been loved by God the Father. And He is the one who will keep us in Jesus Christ. And then lastly, thirdly, or whatever, He is the one. May mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Now, the point I want to make is when things go wrong, we tend to wonder, how can a good God allow bad things to happen? And here we are reminded again that in the midst of a letter that Jude wrote, which has scathing rebukes throughout it, he writes to those who have been called, chosen, loved, and kept by God in the faith. And then he goes on to say, dear, I pray that you may... Excuse me, sorry, I went back to 3 John, wrong page. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, man, I wanted to share with you the goodness of the great salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. I intended to write to you a great letter about all the goodness of the salvation God has given to us. But I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. We have been entrusted by God with a tremendous understanding and knowledge of that which God has given to us in Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, and by His word, that which has been entrusted to the saints has been granted unto us by God. Praise be unto God. Amen. That God's goodness is great. Now, I have in my notes, pause and reflect, because the time would have allowed us to take the moment just to pause and reflect upon God's goodness that's been given unto us. I challenge you to go home. Take some time to pause and reflect upon God's goodness, because it's in God's goodness that we face the difficult when things go wrong. So the first thing we need to remember is God's goodness is great. Second thing we need to remember is God's judgment is certain. Now, Jude goes into, I didn't even count the verses, but 14 or 15 verse diatribe concerning those who have slipped in among them. Certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. Notice how he describes them. They are ungodly. They are godless men who change the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ. They are ungodly. If you read down in verse 14, all the ungodly acts they have done in the ungodly way and all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against. These men are grumblers and fault finders. They complain. They boast about themselves. And so we recognize that rather than seeking to live a godly life, we recognize that their judgment is certain because they live ungodly living without any shame. In fact, Jude condemns them by saying, they change the grace of God into a license for immorality. These are the ones who say, I can do what I want because God will forgive me. I'm saved by grace so I can live however I want. I'm saved by God's grace so I can do whatever I want. You can't tell me how I'm going to live my life because God is the one who has forgiven me and will forgive me of everything I do. And so they use the freedom in Christ as a license to sin. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul writes that you have been set free in Christ, but do not use your freedom in Christ as a license to sin. That's what these people are doing. They are living ungodly lives without shame. They speak slander without fear. Verse 8, now again, I'm going to jump around here a little bit. Verse 8, in the very same way, these dreamers pollute their own bodies, rejecting authority and slander celestial beings. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not dare to bring a slanderous accusation against him, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Yet these men speak abusively against whatever they do not understand, and what things they do understand by instinct, like unreasoning animals, they are the very things that destroy them. These people are willing to say whatever they want to say, without any concern or any fear of repercussions for that which they speak. Now, I would love to go into a great diatribe about what he's talking about with the angel Michael and the whole understanding of the body of Moses, but I don't have time this morning, so we'll just skip over that one. All right? And as well, his quote from Enoch that comes from the book of Enoch as well, or the writings of Enoch in the Apocrypha. All right? So, that's why I said Ryan should have taken this passage because he would have talked on that. Thirdly, they indulge themselves without thinking. We recognize that these men are the very thing that destroys, that these men have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. They have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. Notice all the Old Testament references to the judgment of those who disobeyed God. Whether it's Michael disputing with the devil, these people slander. Or whether it's Cain who killed his brother Abel because Abel was righteous and Cain wasn't. Or whether they're those who have followed after Balaam's error and for profit have sought to seek after and denounce the people of God. Or whether they've been destroyed in Korah's rebellion, who rebelled against Moses, saying, Moses, who do you think you are, thinking you're the only one who can tell us what to do? And if you remember Korah's rebellion, the earth opened up and swallowed Korah and those around him. They underwent God's judgment. They indulge themselves without thinking. I put down here, fourthly, they make promises without providing. These men are blemishes at your love feast, eating with you without the slightest qualm. Shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain. Dennis, are you looking for a little rain? Huh? I think at this point in time, a downpour would be something we would look forward to. Would it not be? And what the writer Jude is saying, you look to the west, the ground is dry, the corn is shriveling up, you look to the west, and there comes the big thundercloud. The one who's going to bring the downpour that's going to redeem you. And it simply blows on by. It promises, but doesn't provide. And then he goes on as well, that are blown along by the wind. They're autumn trees that grow up. How many of you have apple trees or fruit trees or pear trees or peach trees? And all you wait for it to bloom and to blossom and to produce the fruit. And then all of a sudden, there's nothing there. We tend to like raspberries. We used to have some raspberries in our backyard. They used to produce nice, luscious red raspberries. Until the Japanese beetle came along. Now they're gone. They promise exactly what you would like. Such lush fruit. Such, oh, the raspberries. Oh, what deliciousness. Oh, I can't wait to put them on my cereal. Oh, I can't wait to have them with some cream. Oh, I can't wait, but where are they at? They're gone. Folks, how many of you have seen the progressive commercial about your parents? You know, we can't keep your best friends from becoming like your parents. Something like that. I don't, you know, something along those lines. But we can save you money. The older I get, the more I realize I'm starting to sound like my dad and my grandma. And you know what I mean? The older you get, the more you start sounding like those who are old. How many of you start to say to your kids what your parents said to you? You know, knock that off or I'll... I'm just saying, to me, what I see happening in the world around us is not a good thing. For you see, we have people who are promising great things for Illinois. Oh, we're going to be successful again. We're going to have all this income and money again. And we're going to have all this stuff happening. When Jude calls them promisers without provision, they promise, but they don't provide. Help me out, would you, just a moment, as I reminisce? If we put a lottery in Illinois, all of the proceeds from the lottery are going to go to, help me out, education. We won't have to worry about the education system. It will all be funded by the lottery. How many of you want to say with me, lie. They promised, but they didn't deliver. Now come January 1st, we recognize we have an alcohol problem. Now we're going to add to it a pot problem. Right? And we're just going to get all kinds of revenue and all kinds of funds and all kinds of money because we're going to legalize pot and now you can grow it in your backyard. As long as you pay taxes on it. Folks, what do you want to say? Lie. Do you see my point? Jude says, they make promises that they don't provide for. Now, I could live with the reality of the fact that uneducated people are saying this. Because I would say they just don't know any better. But when educated people are saying these things, I have to wonder what went wrong. And what are we going to do? Lastly, they complain without satisfaction. I've already given it. I won't go on to this. These men are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. It's all about me, myself, and me, mine. It's all about what I get out of life. It's all about what's best for me. Now, again, I had pause and pray for those caught in sin. Folks, we need to pray. We need to pray for those who think somehow this is going to be the promise that's come their way, that's going to make their life easy, that's going to be it all for them. For God's judgment is certain. I don't have time, but I'm going to take just a moment. I believe God's judgment comes in two ways. Number one, it comes in the natural reactions, our natural responses to our choices. The saying is out there, if you choose to sin, choose to suffer. And then it also comes in the understanding of God's judgment that will come at the end time. We will all stand before the judgment seat of God someday. Now, if you really want to study that, come next Sunday to my Sunday school class because we will be looking at the judgment seat of God. We recognize God's judgment is certain. Thirdly, and if you think it's been bad so far, this one gets even worse. God's punishment is eternal. God's punishment is eternal. Verse 5, though already you know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord delivered His people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who didn't keep their position of authority but abandoned their own homes. These fallen angels, these who followed the teachings of Satan, these who were demonic in their understanding, these He has kept in darkness, bound in everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. In Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. Folks, we need to recognize that God's judgment is certain and His punishment is eternal. And there's a lost world out there that does not understand that. I recently was talking with a good friend of mine, and he was saying the fact that he was on his way to or on his way home from or had been a part of a celebration of life. How many of you heard of the celebration of lives that are happening these days, okay? Instead of funerals, we're having celebrations of life. Now, I'm not against celebrating life. Amen? I believe we need to celebrate life. I'm not against celebrating somebody's life after they've died and remembering what they've done and celebrate how they impacted your life and remember what they did in life. The thing that concerns me is that when we get to a point that all we want to do is celebrate, but we don't want to remember and realize. For in my understanding of it, and again, this is my understanding, it's very limited, very small, very narrow. What we want to do is celebrate this person's life without having somebody tell us that we're not going to get to go to heaven apart from Jesus Christ. We don't want to have to worry about what happens after we die. We just want to celebrate the life that we have now. And least of all, would we ever have somebody tell us that if we do not know Jesus, we are destined for an eternal separation from Him in hell? I want to see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. I don't, Folks, God's judgment, His punishment is eternal. And I have to tell you this morning, if you have never received Jesus as your Savior, you are facing an eternal separation from God in hell forever. ever. So make today the time when you receive Christ as your Savior. And you come to understand the truth that God has given to us, that Jesus Christ came, walked on this earth, died on the cross so we can be forgiven of our sins by faith, receiving the gift of salvation, which He gives unto us as a gift for us to receive. Have you received it? If so, the good news is God's goodness is great. If not, the bad news is God's judgment, God's punishment is forever. You need to receive it. Admit that you've sinned. Believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. And ask Him to forgive you of your sins and come into your life and commit yourself to following Him. Because God's punishment is eternal. Pray for those who are without Jesus. Lastly, I have to come back to some positive news. God's promise is secure. God's promise is secure. Verse 17, but you, dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you. Remember this. Verse 20, but you, dear friends, build yourselves up in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by the corrupted flesh. What are we to do? I put five things. I'm going through them real quickly. Number one, remember it. Remember what God told us. This should not surprise us what's happening. We live in an ungodly world that is run by an ungodly demon. Remember it. Secondly, encourage it, not ungodliness. Verse 20. Build yourselves up in the most holy faith. Literally, encourage one another in the most holy faith. Folks, we need to encourage one another in our faith. Have somebody that you can call on. Somebody that you can share with. Somebody that you can get together with. Do not try to go it alone when everything falls apart and it all goes wrong. Don't close the curtains and lock yourselves in your room. You have to get together with others so that you can build yourselves up in the most holy faith. And then thirdly, pray it. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep praying. Pray for those who are lost. Pray for those who are in charge of our government, who are over us. Pray for those who are in authority over us. Pray for the church. Pray that the message would keep going forward. Just keep praying. And then fourthly, keep it. Verse 21, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Keep the faith. Keep holding on. Keep the truth. Hold to it. Lastly, trust it. Be merciful to those who doubt, snatch others from the fire and save them. But verse 24, are you ready? Here is the good news. In fact, it just hit me. I'm going to do this. Stand with me, would you please? Because we're going to close. God's promise is secure. Trust it. If you have your Bibles, read with me together. Let me ask you this. Do you believe He is able to keep you from falling? Do you believe He is going to present you before His glorious presence without fault? Did you get that? Without fault. Covered by Jesus' blood. without fault, and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Here's what we're going to do. We are going to recite this together. And folks, if this don't excite you, you better sit back down and go back to sleep. Join with me as we read this benediction and close it with the Amen. Shall we read it together? Here we go. Are you ready? To Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. You are dismissed.